I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, so last time when I introduced the show, we went through 30 days has September, April, June, and November, and then you did the old, right, the knuckle trick. The knuckle trick.
Hands together, knuckle trick.
So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say we're getting closer to the postseason. That's probably
all the
better.
Time, right? Closer and okay. Closer all the time.
There we go. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, it is Tuesday, March 25th. 2025, again, you do the math, and we're getting very close, a few weeks away, just past that, to the beginning of the 2025 edition of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Can't wait for that. This is a great time of the year as well. First round, though, always fun. It's just going to be the two of us over the course of this podcast and this show. What we're going to do, we're going to add two things, same thing in each conference. We're going to give you our locks of the night in both the Eastern Conference matchups tonight and in the West. Every single game, Vic, on the schedule this evening, at least one of the teams, it is extremely important, if not both. But every single game has at least two huge points on the line.
I might argue with you on that for a couple of the games, but
okay.
But for the most part, I will say there's 10, right? I think 8 of 10 are very important.
Right. Fair enough. 8 of 10. We will go to the West in just a bit. We'll talk about the Oilers and the injury situation. Of course, Thatcher Demko back. What do the Jets do with Vilardi out? I think they'll be fine. Well, also, too, Mike Zeisberg wrote a great piece on what Colorado's done and how they have given up draft picks in order to win now and win, say, tomorrow, next season. So it's kind of a neat thing what the Avalanche did and what Dallas did, of course, to get Mikko Rantanen at the deadline. Anyway, let's begin with the Blue Jackets. So much to unpack with this game last night, Vic. First of all, a huge win, huge 2 points for Columbus.
Before that win, which they basically pulled out of the fire and they needed to, they had lost 6 straight. This is a team that many people had as a lock for the postseason like 3-4 weeks ago.
Right.
And now we're in the situation where they are basically peeing it away, unfortunately. Well, they have been. You can't lose 6 straight this time of year. You can't. You can't expect to do that and still be in a good position.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say peeing it away. I'm just saying it's part of your language.
I'm just trying to keep it as clean as possible over here. The they got Sean Monahan back after he's been out since earlier this winter. That was a huge boost. They got good Branson back, who had been out since essentially the first game of the season, a big piece on their D. So you were expecting them to get a boost from that return as well. And they did. And it was a tough one back and forth for the Islanders. They actually were down, and then the Kirill Marchenko tied it up in the third, and they ended up winning it in a shootout, thanks to Adam Fantilli. So very, very big win, especially over the Islanders, who they are jousting with directly for one of those spots, one of the wild card spots in the East. It was a... So there's one piece. Okay.
And that's the small piece, I think.
the story should be that Columbus won their first game in a couple of weeks, and it was a huge win, and now they need to get on a roll. However, this game was a mess when it came to reviews for goalie interference. And I know you and I try to avoid discussing this topic because mm-hmm. there's no win to it. No. One day this is goalie interference, the next day it isn't. Everybody's very frustrated. To be honest, I think the league is frustrated with it as well. I meet people who work in the situation room. I don't know. Someday they see something and someday they see something else. The judgment, the subjectivity to this call drives everybody bananas. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and last night was in a nutshell. So I'm just going to keep this very brief.
Sure.
Islanders score. There was goaltender interference to pretty much everybody who was watching this game. Dean Evason calls a challenge. Nope. Situation room says good goal. Columbus is extremely frustrated and for very good reason. Mm-hmm. Anybody, please watch this replay. It was goaltender interference. And that,
mm-hmm.
Palmieri scores.
It's a makeup call.
And they call goaltender interference.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
No.
So they basically, as Marty Biron said on SportsCenter this morning, it all worked out in the wash. But you just can't say that.
No, it can't.
All worked out. Okay, so they pulled one back that should have been, and then they gave one that shouldn't. It doesn't work that way because momentum, Columbus could have done something different if that first Islanders goal didn't score. You can't look at it that way. And Patrick mm-hmm. Watt came out after the game, and you can only imagine. I actually thought he showed a great deal of restraint.
I did too.
But he was like, basically, if Toronto can't get these calls right ever, why do we have Toronto? And he's referring, of course, to the situation room, not the city itself. But that's just been the issue. And it has been an ongoing issue. So I don't blame Patrick Roy at all. So the Islanders got a point. Columbus got two. Okay, fine. But the bigger story being that we still don't know what this looks like. And this has to be resolved one way or another.
This is one of the hardest things, and I think you and I talked about this as well. We had Tyson Nash on last week, and we asked him kind of what rule and things that he would change, and he went right to overtime. He said it should be 3-on-2 if the team gets power play in overtime, not 4-on-3.
Him and I disagree on that, but that's fine.
Right, yeah, me too. He didn't address the whole GM meetings thing when it came to goalie interference, but that was a huge topic, and it continues to be even more of a topic every single season. I'll take the second goal. The one that was disallowed at the end of the game that would have tied, and that made Patrick Roy completely irate. I mean, there was a whole bunch of emotion over the course of the game. But if you watch it again, and again, you said to people to watch the first one, watch the second one too. Mm-hmm. Elvis Merzlikins initiates the contact. So he's trying to push.
Palmieri.
He's trying to push him away. And then I think there's maybe a good beat or two, like 1-1000, 2-1000, where he got set and he was ready to face that shot. And the biggest thing that came out of that for me was number one, or two things. Number one, the referee right away, without hesitation, ruled it no goal. But then you look at Elvis Merzlikins and he didn't do anything. He just stared at the referee. He didn't wave his hands. If you think you're interfered with as a goalie,
you make a
and
fuss.
A goal goes in, you are irate. You
make a
first
fuss.
Thing you do is get up. He just stood there, Vic, like this.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an ISO of him. So that to me is, that wasn't goaltender interference. I'm not saying the situation room, if you and I were in it, we'd say, oh, well, Elvis didn't react. So that's our reasoning why we're not calling it a goal or it should be a goal. But that to me was so indicative of a non-goaltender interference call. So I don't know. It's just, again, you and I can talk about this forever. We choose not to, and I think it's fine. To be honest, I'll leave it with you. That's not fair. But anyway, I'll throw this at you. I don't know how this is ever going to be fixed because it can't.
It
really can't be. You can put as many eyes in the sky, but there's so many different human elements to this thing. And the unfortunate part of that one, if that happened in a really, really, say it was game 82.
That's what I'm always concerned about.
Right.
Like, it happened in a game that already matters right now.
Sure.
And everybody is up in arms.
Yeah.
But this isn't Ovechkin breaking Gretzky's record.
No.
This isn't game seven, round three of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? This, you have to get it as right as you possibly can. I don't know, Ryan, do you just let them have at it? It's like gladiator style in front of the net, and it's up to the D to cross-check the opposition out of the way. That doesn't seem like a solution either. But I don't want them to take too light of a touch, like say with the Palmieri goal, which absolutely should have counted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough one, but I'm a little bit with Patrick Roy right now. Why have a situation room if they're just not going to get it right?
No, I agree with that. I agree. Anyway, this stuff's going to happen again, unfortunately. And let's hope it's not going to happen by the time spring hockey comes and game one of any series, or for that matter, game seven of any series, let alone a Stanley Cup final. Okay, let's move on. Sheldon Keefe, staying with coaches, Patrick Roy not happy with the officiating last night. Sheldon Keefe was not happy recently. The Devils fell to Ottawa 3-2 on the weekend. Eighth loss in 13 games since the Four Nations. So they have not been playing very well. I know they're injured, totally get it, but they have not been playing well.
Yeah.
And after the game, Jonathan Kovacevic, I think I have that last name correct.
That's right, yep.
Okay, good. Potato, potato. He talked to reporters after, and he basically said this, and I'm going to read. He said, we're in a fight, and hopefully that gets us in that playoff mentality. We're 10, 11 games out. Hopefully we carry that into the playoffs. The results are tough. We're in a fight. We're not going to back down. Sheldon Keefe was asked about that after, and he said, yeah, Kovacevic said this. Keefe said, he just needs to play better. That would help. What do you make of that? Okay, that's the answer. Let's move on.
I enjoyed all of it.
Me too.
As I always enjoy my drama.
Uh-huh.
I saw Sheldon Keefe's response first. So I saw it in the opposite order.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Of the order of operations, right?
Right, right.
So when he came out, when the reporter asked, what did you think about Kovacevic's comments about this mentality? And Keefe lashed out immediately. It was very reflexive, saying, you know, Kovacevic should play better, blah, blah, blah. That would help. I thought he said something pretty nasty. I thought the defenseman said something a little bit more aggressive.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So then when I heard what he said, it actually struck me as rather innocuous. He was just saying, we need to get into this mentality. So what this speaks to me, what this says to me is just Sheldon Keefe is really, really, really frustrated right now.
You think he's a bit stressed?
And this was just a slight poke that I think he blew a little bit out of proportion.
Yeah.
Right? It's so he sort of ran with it. And then in the following game, the follow up was even more hilarious because Kovacevic actually ends up, he's a defender. He actually ends up saving a goal on the goal line. Mm-hmm. And during the game, between the benches, they shoot down an interview. They're talking to Sheldon Keefe on the bench and said, what do you think about that? And Sheldon Keefe goes, he's the best.
I like it. You know what? And this is what means something too. If you're a coach or a player, and look, the Devils, it's not like they're out of this thing. They're in this thing. They're in third in that metro.
They're in trouble though, Ryan. They're in trouble.
I know. And this team is not going to go anywhere without the two studs that are out on that club at the moment. So that's unfortunate. Well,
and they're out.
I know.
They're not coming back next week.
No, they're not. They're not. So they have 81 points. They've won four of the last 10. It's not great. And look at Carolina and Washington combined. They won 18 of their last 20 games. So I'm with you. But I do respect, and I like when Keefe said that. It's like, yeah, he made it into something which was a little bit more than it should have been. Maybe more, way more than it should have been. Not needed. And you got to have that. It's fun. You light the fire, you put it out, you move on.
Yeah, a little bit of a temper tantrum. It's totally allowed. These are human beings. It's fine.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. And
what about Ryan?
won't get into specifics really on kind of where the team is at right now, but we want to talk about the former captain, John Tavares, who's having a great season. And people are saying, oh, you take the C off the jersey. And that has nothing to do with it. This guy is somebody who puts so much effort into his practicing, into his fitness, into his game, his intensity.
Doesn't take a shift off ever.
He just loves the game, and you can see that every single day. So his contract is coming up. Matthew Nyce's contract is coming up too. We won't talk about that. But what do you think he's going to? I mean, I believe, and maybe you agree, you don't. It's going to be a 3-year deal. I think that's the term. But what do you think the financial impact is going to be?
Let's just first mention he actually hit 30 goals over the weekend.
Yes, he did. Yes,
so
he did.
That's another milestone, and he's second in goals on a team, right behind Willie Nylander.
Yeah.
Ahead of a gentleman called Austin Matthews.
He's been very hurt. Let's give him a mulligan. He's very hurt.
And also Mitch Marner puts up assists like it's going out of style. This is not a criticism of the other two players. I'm just pointing out he is the second goal scorer right now on the table for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that is something. Okay. Mm-hmm. So John Tavares turns 35 next September. Mm-hmm. So the 3 years makes sense to me. That's going to bring you into your later 30. And hey, if he's got another 1 year kick at the can or 2 year kick at the can, we're seeing that more and more often. And the guy does treat his body as a temple, and it's absolutely not out of the question.
Yep.
Everybody is ballying about seven and a half a year, million, obviously. No, potatoes, Victoria. $7.5 million
That again is the insight. Okay. That is the insight that people come to this program for. Tavares will sign not for 7 million potatoes, but he may sign for $7 million.
Listen, Ryan, he wants to stay here. He wants to stay in Toronto. I say here because we're both in Toronto. He wants to stay in Toronto.
Yeah.
He has no desire to do this anywhere else. That was, I think, had a lot to do with the decision over the summer to give up the captaincy and have Austin Matthews take
over.
He has a long-term plan.
Agreed.
He doesn't want to go anywhere. His kids are in school. He actually lives around the corner from me in a very different house than I do. And he's very, very planted and he's very happy. I think it's going to be on the lower end. I would be surprised if it was much higher than seven. Just because I think he does have a team first mentality right now. He does want Matthew Nyes to continue to play for the Maple Leafs. He wants Mitch Marner to re-sign with the Maple Leafs. So if he takes a little bit of a haircut, because maybe he could get 7.75 or something else somewhere else. But here in Toronto, he's valued. The endorsements are here. Sponsorship deals are here. So I would guess around seven.
I'm going to say even less. And
see, I'm tempted to, but everybody's saying seven. Okay, why?
Because of the hometown discount and because of what this means to him, and to your point about him not going anywhere else. I mean, he was quoted, I don't know when it was, not too long ago, but I think it was something like, well, if I'm not re-signing in Toronto, then I'm done. I'm not playing hockey. Maybe I'm paraphrasing, whatever it is. But I think that he could be as south as six for the three. I do. And the reason is because he's not going to do this for the money. He's going to do this for the team. And I think, to be honest, I know he's been around the league a long time. He has success in New York. He's had success in Toronto, but they still, of course, try to get over that hump.
Not the big success.
But he doesn't – this spring for Toronto, it's not going to be a key in determining whether he'll re-sign with the team. He will. But I think it'll kind of be looking at, well, say we get even closer, or say I've got this good feel. And a lot of people think the Leafs will go a little bit deeper this year, but I know we've said that before. Maybe he will think, well, if I take six, that gives up, say, an extra mil, right? I know the cap's going up too. Maybe that extra million a year that I'm not going to get from Toronto, maybe they can add another piece. He's all about the team. He will sign a team-friendly deal. And I don't think a three-year deal at six, which is 18 mil for 3 years, over the course of 3 years, I don't think that is in
for
any
your
way.
Second line center with a contender? Really?
But it's John Tavares, Vic. He's been around the league. He's a different type of person. He's
my
a
last,
different type of person.
My last counterpoint to that, if he knows he can get eight somewhere else, and I think he could. I think he could get $8 million a year somewhere else. If he knows that, I don't think his agent is going to let him sign for six, Ryan. I just don't think he will.
I'll tell you this. John Tavares will say to his agent, I'm going to sign for six. He's not going anywhere. He's not going
anywhere. What about
the
Players Association and going, hey, buddy, this isn't good for other players' bottom line?
Well,
I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of extra pressure on him from the PA, from his agent, saying you are worth this much. So we're going to see. So maybe 6.75. I think about seven is right, but maybe 6.75. But we're not going to find out until the summer. I think we pretty much know that.
Yeah, no, we know that. Yeah, they're not going to discuss that. A couple more concerning the East, and then we'll go West. Mm-hmm. Montreal, certainly in contention. They have a huge game tonight against the Blues. And let me reverse that too. The Blues have a huge game tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Then Montreal close out the month, Vic, with games against Philly. Very winnable. They're not playing well. They're going nowhere. But then they have two real tough ones. Carolina, they've been on fire. And then the Panthers to end the month. We've talked about this before. If the Canadiens do not get in, which would be great to see, I'm all for all original six teams making it. I really would love to see a lot of more Canadian teams get in because we got to end that drought since 1993. What this is doing for the mentality of the team, the psyche of the team, the future, and the maturity of the team is phenomenal.
It is. We said they're playing with house money. We've already said that a playoff position is a bonus. I will say this. I'm starting to wonder if maybe they don't think that way anymore. That gutsy come from behind win on Saturday over the Colorado. Sorry, they lost in overtime, but they got a point out of that.
They had the three goal. Yep.
Against the Colorado Avalanche. Ryan, they were done 3-0.
Yeah.
Then they were down 4-1 and they scrapped and they scrapped and they scrapped. And this isn't against the Buffalo Sabres or the Anaheim Ducks or the San Jose Sharks. This is against one of the powerhouses in the West who has been playing some excellent hockey of late. This is against Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. Mm-hmm. And they scrapped back on a Saturday and they made a game of it and they lost in overtime. And that impressed the heck out of me. So they have it in them. They have the belief. Top line is just humming. They have the belief. The defense is better. So we're going to find out. But they do have tough sledding ahead. There's no doubt about that.
No, they do. I'm not too sure exactly. I did have it up here. In April, again, we'll be quick. They go actually back-to-back to end this month, and then they start April against Florida. Then they have Boston again, Philly. They got Nashville. Those are winnable games. Mm-hmm. Detroit. Then they close with Ottawa, Toronto, Chicago, and last game against Carolina. So,
but they're in the position right now.
Yes, yep, which
is
great.
They control their own destiny, and they have a game in hand over the Islanders as well. So,
The other night, before we get to our Eastern Conference lock of the night tonight, and who's going to be, it's a guarantee win. Again, a lot of points.
Lock not guaranteed.
No, it's a guaranteed. No, lock Vic, not. It's a guarantee. Don't hold me to that. I'm not really for fighting in the NHL. I know I'm probably in the minority saying, hey, if there's much less over the course of each year, then just wean the thing out. It's never going to happen, but I'm just saying fights are a lot. There were a lot more back then than there are now. I think if goaltenders want to fight, I think the refs got to let them go. Stop this protection of all these goalies, yada, yada, yada. So the other night, Darcy Kemper and Jeremy Swayman were going to go toe-to-toe. That wasn't really the story. The refs didn't allow them to, and Kemper was called out to center. Swayman dropped the gloves. He dropped his helmet, actually laid his helmet, which is very expensive, laid it nicely down on the ice.
It's a great paint job. Can't mess with that.
That wasn't the story. The story was Nikita Zadorov coming out after the game when asked about it, because Swayman said, I didn't like how my guy was being pushed around or bumped, and I wanted to try to say do something about it. And the reporter said to Zadorov, do you think that was him sticking up for his teammate? And
we should mention that Zadorov is a member of the Boston Bruins, so this is a teammate speaking about Jeremy Swayman.
And essentially, Zadorov said, oh, was that what it was about? Mm-hmm. Oh, no comment. I have no idea. That speaks volumes to me. And you want to know what it does? It speaks to what, and I've said this from day one with Jeremy Swayman, you don't hold out on a contract. You held out for a lot more money than you got, and your play's been terrible. He caused a rift in the locker room. He caused some issues in the room with his teammates because of that. And that was a prime example of a defenseman not sticking up for his goaltender saying, really? That was him trying to stick up for somebody? I have no comment.
The fact that Zadorov went on to criticize the team letting in too many goals this season. And so is he criticizing the team or is he criticizing the goaltender?
Stop this holdout stuff. You don't need to hold out. You don't need to hold out. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes you look to be spoiled. And look, Swayman's never going to be the same again. You want to know why? Because Allmark isn't in Boston. He will never be the same goaltender, I think, as he was when Allmark was his cushion.
I think we're going to get a greater sense and a clearer picture of who he is next year, because this year has been a mess. Ryan, his save percentage is 0.892.
That's terrible.
His goals against is over 3. Yeah. Like, it's not that they're not mediocre numbers, Ryan.
No.
They're bad. Yeah. They're actually bad numbers. And they're a big reason that Boston isn't going to be in the postseason this year. There are other reasons. It's not all on him, but it's a big one. So
a lot of it is.
Zadorov is frustrated as well. And I don't mind candor. I've told you that over and over and over again. We don't get enough of it, but there is a rift there and they're going to have to figure out over the summertime because he's stuck there now. They're not moving him.
Nope.
So they're going to have to figure out how to all get along. And also for him, he needs to go and talk to somebody and figure out how to 10 goal again. Because he can't, if he lost his like supportive mate in Allmark, that's not a good enough reason not to stink in the NHL now. It just isn't.
It's easy to look back and see when something doesn't work out, say, oh, you should have done something different at the time. But yeah, but hey, if you wanted to keep one or the other, I do think Allmark was the better goaltender anyway. And he's a huge reason why Ottawa is in a sniff right now of the postseason berth. All right, we'll take a break. But before we do that, speaking of the Eastern Conference, forget these guarantees. Victoria's not going to do a guarantee. But out of the games tonight involving teams in the East, who do you like really to come away with the 2 points?
Tampa.
As close to a guarantee as you can give us.
Tampa Bay is not losing to Pittsburgh tonight.
Oh, come on, that's easy.
Yes, it is. Tampa Bay's lost 2 in a row, and this is where they get back on track.
I want to either you can do it now or at the end of the next segment to tell me which game. You said there's a couple that really don't mean anything. Because I'm looking at the schedule. Every game is important for at least one of the teams.
Give me a second.
Every game. I'm going to go with this in the Eastern Conference. The lock is going to be the Canadians are going to win. The Canadians are going to beat the Blues in St. Louis, and that's going to be a massive, massive, massive win. It could be their biggest win of the season. So that's my lock.
I like that. I think that's it's definitely gutsier than my Lightning over Penguins. Now, you tell me, you asked me, so I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Why does the game matter to the Hurricanes that much to beat the Predators?
Just to gain points, just to keep on trying to get
to
that
do
top.
What? They're not catching Washington, and Jersey isn't catching them.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
All
enough.
Right?
Yep, fair enough. Okay, deal. So you pick Tampa, easy pick. I'll take Montreal, tough pick.
This is the we'll first see. Time we're doing this, so I'm gonna start out smooth.
Oh, goodness.
But you're right, the rest of the games, everything has a little bit of something.
Yep.
Yeah. Some are on some teams are on a little bit of life support here, like the Red Wings, and they're going to be in tough in Colorado tonight. All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk McDavid, Draisaitl, talk about the Blues again, and we'll debate to this back and forth. If we do go back and forth, I don't know. We don't know this yet what we're going to pick, who we're going to pick about our Hart Trophy winner. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We went east and now we are going to go west. We will talk about the Vancouver Canucks in a bit. We'll look at the Hart Trophy discussion too, about who we are picking for that. And no surprise, both, at least, we haven't talked about this yet. But both big candidates, at least in my book, are from the west. So that's why we're doing it. And we'll also give you our... guarantee. I got to come up with a different word.
No, own it. Our guaranteed win of the night.
Our guaranteed.
Do it, Ryan.
Victoria, very feisty today. Very feisty today. Guaranteed win of the night. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Let's continue on Pucks in Seven. Edmonton, you never want to have any part of the year where you're injured. The only good thing about these injuries right now for the Oilers, Stuart Skinner avoided what could have been a big one, so that's good. But Leon's out for a bit. McDavid's out for a bit. Only good thing is that this team is in a postseason spot, and they're not going to lose that. If this was where they're chasing down a final position or they're down by a couple of points, whatever, then this would be a huge blow. But this is the way it is right now. Other players have to step up. And I said this too recently with Edmonton. Other players on the team, again, you're playing for points, you're playing for positioning, you're trying to put yourself in the best situation for that first round matchup that you can put yourself in. Other players need to realize, okay, now's our time to maybe get on a roll with McDavid and Leon out. I know that those two are the engines that run that whole ship. I get it. But if you can find ways to stem the tide, if you will, when McDavid and Draisaitl are out and get on a bit of a run, you're going to take that into round one of the postseason. That, I think, is the biggest thing for Edmonton.
It could be good
right
for
now.
Them, is what you're saying.
That's what
this
I'm
could
saying.
Be good for them. The fact that they have to overcome this adversity,
yep.
And credit where it's due, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was a machine the other night. I think he had a hat trick. Skinner contributed. Henrique contributed. So that's what we needed to see from them. And they got a hard-fought win, and they deserved it. And that's what we need to continue to see from them. And that's great. What I don't like about this situation is the most obvious part of it. I don't like the fact that they're no longer being determined as day-to-day.
Yeah.
This is my concern.
Now. Yeah. Yeah.
The Oilers have said that both McDavid and Draisaitl are out for the next three games.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a bother. Because then what happens the next week? And then the week after that? And
you're in a week-to-week basis, right? At least now, if you're out for the three games. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the concern. Now, if they had come out and said, okay, we're going to rest both of them and make sure they're 100%. There's no such thing as 100% this time of year. So you understand what I mean. But they're going to be as close to 100% as possible after the three games off. And we're looking forward to having them next week. That would be one thing. Ryan, they didn't say that. They just said they're not playing the next three games.
That's my only concern.
In the meanwhile, though, I think this is good medicine for the rest of the Oilers. And if they continue to play like they did on Saturday, and the rest of that team contributes, it's going to help them once they do get McDavid and Draisaitl back, because they're going to be able to offer that support that they have not offered for the past few months.
No, they haven't. And the biggest discussion point with Edmonton since Leon and Connor have been on the team is, well, those are the only two that actually do something for consistently as much. I know it's tough to do it consistently. I get that. But you're right. They need to take this and try to find their game so they can continue. I don't think they rely on Leon and Connor. If you were to ask them, oh, no, we're fine. But they know that that's kind of a crutch. Okay, you know what? If we're off a bit, Maybe 97.
Leon's going to score. He has 49 on the year. Leon's going to score, and he's going to pull us out this out for us, right?
They've won three.
They can't do that right now.
No, they're 6-3-1 in the last 10 games. Right now, they've 87 points tied in points with the LA Kings for the so they're in third right now. And so, if the playoffs began today, they would open up round one in LA with game number one. Let's go to Vancouver. Where's Vancouver at? Vancouver's 3 points out of a playoff spot. A massive game again for them last night. They grabbed that extra point against the Devils, which was big. So they have 11 games left to go. They have one game in hand on the Blues. Thatcher Demko is back as well.
That was a scrappy win for them again.
It was.
I think we've said this a few times now. And also without Elias Pettersson, who has been playing better of late. Mm-hmm. He's injured. The fact that they pulled this one out without him. I was really nervous. I watched a good part of this game. I was really nervous watching Demko back between the pipes because you understand everything is sort of what's been ailing him is lower body. So every time he would lean one way or the other, and then he makes that absolute incredible pad save in the third period that kept the Canucks in it and he bounced right back up. And that's when I thought, okay, do we have something going on here? Right. So if he can play a stretch now, they're in tough. The Blues are absolutely smoking in the West right now. And Vancouver's a little bit not behind the eight ball, but they have a tougher climb. If Demko can come back and perform like he did last night, and he looked rusty in that first period, but he was really great at the end. Now they have another opportunity to roll out another goalie, and they're feeling it right now. They're not giving up, Ryan. In January, if they were down in the third, you could almost go to bed and just call it. And they're not playing that way. It's like the Montreal Canadiens in the East. They're never quite out of it right now, and that's why I won't stop believing that they have a shot yet.
I've stopped. What's that? Don't Stop Believing. Who did that? Journey? Did Journey sing that song? Was that the one? Don't Stop Believing?
I think it's Journey. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Why don't you give us a little ditty? Give us a couple bars.
No, I was actually singing to you before we came on and I had mic problems. So I had to redo it all, which
it was lovely. It was quite a treat.
Oh, come on. You smiled. You were on your phone like, oh, who's that? I'm here. I'm going to say this about the whole Demko thing. So he said that the injuries that he has suffered because of that, he essentially said it's only in the preparation. The injuries that he's had do not have anything to do directly with the knee surgery that he did have in the summer. But here's my issue with that.
Okay.
I think he's one bad move away or one tweak away from his season being done again. I think that he is not going to be the same goalie. He's going to be fine. But I do think I don't want this to happen. But I do think there's an injury on the horizon waiting to happen with Thatcher Demko again. And if you do that, that is really tough. You have a lot of time committed, a decent amount of money committed to a Demko for Vancouver. I'm not saying I can't help a human body be whatever and do whatever. But it's kind of interesting how he had the surgery. And now he's had these two injuries over the course of the season due to the lower body.
Well, then Kevin Lankinen's got to stand on
his head
again.
Yeah, and right? he's quite capable. Gabe Vilardi is out. Do you think there's any reason for concern with Winnipeg? Because I do not.
Okay, I do a little bit.
Okay.
Because that's one of the best top lines.
Yep.
So Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Vilardi has been one of the best top lines in hockey.
Yeah.
He's a third of it.
Right.
And what he brings to that line is that incredible front of net presence. He's really strong on the puck. His puck possession skills are outstanding. And he's fit in so well with the other two, we'll call them more veterans.
Sure.
So am I concerned as in I'm throwing up my arms like the house is on fire? No.
No.
Winnipeg is so far ahead and they're in a comfortable position. And Alex Iafallo is going to get a shot and hopefully he can do something when he gets that promotion to play with them. Okay, fine.
Right.
I don't like week to week.
No, I
do
know,
not
you
like
hate that.
Week to week.
Yeah, I know.
Right? This time of year. Okay, so is week to week 3 weeks? Is it 7 weeks? Because they're going to want to have this guy back healthy on that top line where when they face whoever in the first round of the postseason, at least a couple games in. That's my only concern. I'd like to know a little bit more about the injury. I'd like to know a little bit more about the timeline. I just like some more specifics on it before I decide to panic or not.
I was going to say, forget about the Winnipeg Jets. How about you deciding? I will
on
say this.
On behalf of the fans of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. Some of the numbers that he's putting
it's
up. He's on pace for 31 goals, on pace for 70 points. And he's 6'3". I didn't know that he was that big.
Yeah,
he's 6'3".
A big fella.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And he gets a lot of the stuff done in front of the net. I think He's ninth in power play goals. He's tied for ninth or something like that. And I know that the amount of ice time, I saw this stat this morning, the amount of ice time that he, when healthy, Scheifele and Kyle Connor have together on the ice at 5-on-5 is about 907 minutes. And without Vilardi, 113 minutes. Mm. So, I mean, I get when you're not. So to your point about, yeah, he's a pretty key cog to that line. So hopefully the week to week thing is not. But you
couple
said three.
Couple
you said
weeks.
Three. Yeah, and that's going to put them toward the end of the season, right? And man, if that thing bleeds into the first week of the postseason, what you're hoping is that Winnipeg can get through, and then he can come back in round two. But I know it's a little bit of ways away from that point. You mentioned the Blues. Huge game tonight that they have coming up against Montreal. They're on a roll, Vic, and I'm very surprised. They're playing sweet music.
They are. It's not, they're not singing the blues.
No, they're not.
Not at all. And again, it's what you want to see from any team that's approaching the postseason or gets into the postseason. It's just balanced scoring. It's depth of scoring. It's not all Robert Thomas. It's not all Jordan Kyrou. It's not like you're getting contributions from neighbors and from Dylan Holloway and from the back end. And Jordan Binnington has been fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and whatever, he's the one who benefited the most, obviously, from winning a gold medal at the Four Nations. You just haven't seen anybody else respond the same way coming back. And right now, the Blues look unbeatable. They will be. They'll lose. And we'll see how they manage because they won six straight.
Sure.
We'll see how they manage after they lose. And you have them losing to Montreal tonight.
I do.
So after that happens, because it's a 100% Ryan Payton guarantee.
Okay.
So after that happens, we'll see how they respond down the stretch and whether they're going to make it interesting. It's so much easier to keep winning than it is to start winning. Right.
It is.
It's going to be an interesting one tonight. That's actually top of my viewing docket is the Blues in Montreal.
And based on the numbers, St. Louis 8-1-1 in their last 10, 12-2-2 since the Four Nations break, and the Canadians are 8-1-4 since the break. So it's going to be a good one. You mentioned about neighbors and how it's good to have teammates, but if you can have good neighbors on your team.
He's been Jacob, a great neighbor.
He sure has. Yeah,
he's been really good. Mows your lawn, shovels your driveway.
Right? Come on. What else do you need? Picks up the pieces, picks up the pylons, grabs the pucks at the end of practice.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We'll talk Hart Trophy in just a second. What I want to do, though, Mike Zeisberger, a great writer, NHL.com.
Oh, he's fantastic. And, everybody has to read him all the time.
He's been doing this since 1999. It's been awesome. Anyway, he put out this article, and I thought it was really neat because when the trade deadline came and went, in Jim Nill's press conference after he acquired Mikko Rantanen in that deal for Dallas or with Dallas, he came out and said, look, sometimes you just got to not take a risk, but you just got to give to get. And Jim Nill, that was not his blueprint. It's not his blueprint to give up draft picks. It's never been, but he did this time to get Mikko Rantanen. The Avalanche have done this. Tampa Bay has done this. And those three general managers, among, I think, maybe a handful, are the best in the NHL. And Zeiss put this out when he talked about the Avalanche and what this team has done and the moves that they've made. They've traded away 2 second-round picks in 2025, a 25 fourth-round pick, a conditional first in 26, a second in 26. I'm not done. Homework after this. What did I say? A third-round pick in 27 and a third-round pick in 2028. They have acquired, through all those different picks and different pieces, Marty Natchez, Charlie Coyle, Brock Nelson, Ryan Lindgren, Mackenzie Blackwood, among others. I just find it neat that they're okay. And look, Colorado's a great team. They're my pick. Pat on the back for winning the cup. I did that before they made all these moves. I just think it's really cool to take that risk because this day and age of hockey, not saying anybody can win in any given season. There's teams that have a long way to go. But the competitiveness of every club who is at or near the top gets tighter every year.
I also think that we don't value draft picks the same as we used to.
You never know what's going to happen with them unless you're...
They're not a real person yet.
Yeah.
But you don't know you're going to get the first overall pick. If you're guaranteed
True.
A Connor McDavid, your strategy is going to be different.
Sure.
Right? But if you're a contending team, you're already looking at picking 17th, 18th in the 20s.
Yeah.
So you're not getting, and there have been many players who have been picked first rounders who have not worked out in the NHL. Because, you know, they're still kids. You don't know what they're going to be. You don't know where the dedication is going to be. You don't know how they're going to mature. Yeah. And they're still, they're eight. These guys are 18, Ryan. Okay.
I know.
So you got to give it a minute and some will work out. And then also you're going to pick other players in the sixth, seventh round, fifth round, fourth round that turn into your Zetterbergs and Datsuks and Marchands and other players who have blossomed, who you know, you need good scouts, right?
Which is a lot more rare these days, I think. I know the Datsuk and Zetterberg was rare, but I think that some of these late round picks, you're not going to see that as much in this day and age of
hockey. I still think the third and fourth rounders have come to play. But you don't know what you're going to get. Whereas if you're going to trade for Mikko Rantanen, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get Mikko Rantanen. Right?
Yeah. As Forrest Gump said, hockey's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Oh, no, he didn't say hockey, did he? Oh, I can't remember.
The draft is like a box of chocolates.
Right, the draft, two more before we get to the lock and guarantee of the night. Hart Trophy pick for you. Who is it?
I'm going to quote an excellent writer at ESPN.com.
Victoria Matiash.
Who had to make this pick on a roundtable last week. I picked Leon Draisaitl. I'll keep this short. According to Evolving Hockey, Draisaitl boasts the league-leading 24.6 goals above replacement, 4.0 wins above replacement. By the way, this is all top of the table. Nobody else is even close to him. And a whopping 7.6 standing points above replacement. There are the numbers. There are the numbers for you. That's all I need. He's the only player who's going to score 50 goals. Hopefully, if he comes back this regular season, because he's one shy. So that's another issue. The Oilers are not where they are. The numbers support that. And so my pick is Leon Draisaitl.
My pick is Leon as well for some of these other numbers. And the sexy thing is to get the goals. And yes, he's going to get to 50. He's 49. It's a goal-scoring league, Ryan. Yeah.
You don't win if you have more assists, right?
No, that's true. That's true. Nate McKinnon, 28 goals and 77 assists. He has 105 points. So he leads the league in points. So there's two things you look at. Number one, the sexy goals. And number two, you look at who's the leading point getter, which is kind of the way it is. Here's some of the other specifics on Leon, which to me, there's not even a discussion. And that's with all the respect. That's a lot for me to say involving any discussion with Nate McKinnon. We're not going to talk about you, Nate.
Actually,
sorry.
I thought you were going to pick McKinnon. So I'm a little bit surprised.
So points per game, Leon's a 1.49, McKinnon 1.48. Yes, that's very close. Even strength goals, Leon's at 34, McKinnon's at 20. Even strength points, pretty much the same, 71 and 70. Power play points, 31 for Leon, 15 power play goals and 5 overtime goals, 10 game winning goals. The shooting percentage, this is intriguing to me. Nate McKinnon is at 9.7%.
Okay.
Leon's at 21.4%. 21.4%. And the amount of shots that McKinnon has taken, he's taken 60 more shots than Leon Draisaitl has. So
he knows how to pick his spots.
Yeah, Leon it is. Okay, last one before we wrap it up. Tonight, again, a lot of games going on in the NHL that have a ton of playoff implications, a lot of big points on the line. We talked East. You picked Tampa. I picked Montreal. So obviously, I'm not going to go with the Blues tonight in the West. Who do you have in the West?
No, that would be silly.
I'm going to say the Blues are going to lose. Easy.
You're going to get one right. That's for
sure.
Yeah. Kings beat the Rangers. Rangers are broken. It's done. It's back in LA. LA's awesome at home. LA knows how to play hockey. The Rangers are just busticated. Kings beat the Rangers at home.
Busticated. Is that with a C or a K?
It is with a C. Busta and then cated. C-A-T-E-D. You asked.
She's going to publish her dictionary very soon. I was going to go with that as well. The Kings, because if you look at some of the other ones, I mean, the Flames, more than they should.
Well, I was going to pick the Avalanche to beat the Red Wings, but I thought you were going to be all over me for picking two gimmies, because I do think that's going to happen as well.
Yeah, no. I'm going to go with the Kings as well. Okay. That team's been playing so well. They really have.
And they sure have.
If you want to think that they're boring, well, you've got, it doesn't matter. A win's a win, 2 points or 2 points. And again, right now, if the season ended, it would be LA home to Edmonton in game one round. Okay, we're out of time. We'll be back later on this week. Enjoy the night. A lot of fun to come. Thanks for listening, watching. Pucks and Seven.
This has been Pucks and Seven, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.